War III. Our president is speaking on this Iran nuke deal. We have a assemblyman from New York, a Jewish assemblyman, saying this is a matter of life and death, and they're comparing it to what the beginning of World War II took place today, right now, on VFN TV.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Right now, the New York Times has just interviewed our president. What is it about? It's about this nuclear agreement that took place with Iran, the enemy of Israel, the enemy of America. It doesn't even make sense, but you know what? It lines right up with what took place right before World War II. Are we walking into World War III? First, let's take a look at our president. He's interviewed by the New York Times.
With 400 people running for president from the Republican Party, is there a chance that that party can in any way embrace this?
I don't think, given the competition that's been going on. I think it's doubtful that we get a lot of current Republican elected officials supporting this deal. I think there's a certain party line that has to be towed within their primaries and among many sitting members of Congress, but that's not across the board. It'll be interesting to see what somebody like a Rand Paul has to say about this. I think that if I were succeeded by a Republican president, and I'll be doing everything I can to prevent that from happening, but if I were, that Republican president will be in a much stronger position than I was when I came into office in terms of constraining Iran's nuclear program. He will be in a position to know that 98% of their nuclear material has been shipped out. He would know that the majority of the centrifuges have been removed. He would know that there's no heavy reactor there. He'd know that the international community had signed on to this. He'd know everything that we've learned from the inspection regime. And he'd still be in possession of the entire arsenal of our armed forces and our diplomatic and intelligence services to deal with the possibility that Iran was cheating. So I think he'd be in a stronger position. They're not going to admit that now, and that's an entire hypothetical because I feel good about having a Democratic successor. But I think that this builds on bipartisan ideas, bipartisan efforts. We could not have succeeded without the strong support of Congress on a bipartisan basis to impose the sanctions we did on Iran. They deserve enormous credit for that. And as we implement this, I think it will prove to be not just good for us, but good for the world.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate this time.
This sounds exactly like Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain. But first, let's go. That's his viewpoint. But what is a Democratic New York Assemblyman, Don Hykens, comments about what took place? This is the real deal. Watch.
It may not be about politics. It may not be about Democrats or Republicans, but it is about votes in Congress. The president will veto any move to block this deal. Have you in Congress got the two-thirds majority that you need in the House and the Senate to override that veto?
I think the American people are going to do everything in their power here in New York with Senator Schumer, who wants to be the majority leader or minority leader. Schumer always says that he is the protector of the Jewish community. Where we're going to find out if Senator Schumer is going to support the survival of Israel or support this appeasement deal. This is Chamberlain 1938.
You're going to pressure heavily Senator Schumer?
Senator Schumer, Gillibrand, and Democrats. I'm a Democrat. I want to see fellow Democrats look at this deal for what it is. It is a betrayal of our friends all over the world.
But you're a Democrat. Most Democrats are in favor of what President Obama is proposing.
I am an American, and I care about the well-being of this country. My parents went through the Holocaust. My grandmother died in a concentration camp in a gas chamber. Israel is being threatened. 4 days ago, death to Israel, death to America. Some people don't want to believe that. I believe it. I believe they want to destroy the state of Israel.
Think about that. This is the real view. When you sign an agreement against Israel, think about how significant that is. This is exactly what took place with Hitler in regards to signing an agreement with Neville Chamberlain. We'll be talking about that in a moment. That's what he's talking about. It's a 1938 Neville Chamberlain. It's the very same thing. But look at this. Look what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says about it himself.
Our concern, of course, is that the militant Islamic State of Iran is going to receive a sure path to nuclear weapons. Many of the restrictions that were supposed to prevent it from getting there will be lifted. And in addition, Iran will get a jackpot of cash bonanza of hundreds of billions of dollars, which will enable it to continue to pursue its aggression and terror in the region and in the world.
You think about that. It's just $100 billion going to a state-sponsored terrorist nation. They're the ones that's in Yemen. They're the ones that are in Syria. They're the ones that were sending, missiles reportedly by the Jerusalem Post into Hamas and Gaza, where they were firing it. We released $100 billion into a state-sponsored terrorism who hates America, who hates Israel, who is part of and connected in some ways with the Muslim Brotherhood and with the radical ISIS Islam in regards to a radical version of Islam that are beheading Christians and running them out of their nations. I mean, what are we doing? Think about this. If you go back to 1938, what that particular assemblyman was talking about with from New York, he's talking about the prime minister. And this is what Metastasis writes in his book about Bonhoeffer. He says at the very moment that Hitler's generals, who thought he'd lost his mind, was ready to undo his leadership, all of a sudden, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain comes in and signs this agreement, and he starts waving it around like it's a big deal. That's saying this is that signing of that agreement that just took place under Senator Secretary of State John Kerry, leadership of our president, is the very same kind of moment. He's saying, let's just take a look back at 1938. This is right before World War II took place. Could we be walking into World War III? Look.
There's only two things I want to say. First of all, I've received an immense number of letters during all these anxious times, and so has my wife. Letters of support and approval and gratitude. And I can't tell you what an encouragement that has been to me. I want to thank the British people for what they have done.
Next,
I want to say that the settlement of the Czechoslovakian problem, which has now been achieved, is, in my view, only the prelude to a larger settlement in which all Europe may find peace. This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. Some of you perhaps have already heard what it contains, but I would just like to read it to you. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
60 million people were about to die on the face of the earth. Concentration camps were about to be established. This man waving that agreement, saying that I signed an agreement with Hitler so that we would not go to war. What are we hearing today? The very same thing. That's what that state assemblyman from New York was saying on Fox News. Find out what the ambassador to Israel is saying when we get back from this break. Join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And can you move your arm now?
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome back. My goodness, this is just like 1938 that this state assemblyman says. And why is it so important? It's important, first of all, because we love the Jews. We love Israel.
Yes.
Secondly is, if you don't stand with Israel, God doesn't stand with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those who bless Israel are themselves blessed. That every nation will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat based on what they did with the land of Israel. I mean, that's what he says very specifically. This is God's time clock. God is watching us and how we respond to him. It's not just man. It's God who said this is what it will be like. By the way, that's where Jesus' feet are going to come back. You know, Yeshua, the Messiah's feet is going to come back on the Mount of Olives right there, you know, in Jerusalem. So, I mean, this is very, very important in the context of how we're responding to it. God's going to watch out for Israel. But the thing about it is our country just waived an agreement, as you just saw. He talked about it on the New York Times interview. You saw it on our yesterday's program as well. And it's the same thing. He's waving that around, John, like he's proud that he got Hitler's signature on it.
you look at this and you see it happening, and you still have to pinch yourself. Is this really happening?
But, you know, we have the history that he didn't have, but now we can say he's waved a piece of paper around saying, I just want you to know that I have Hitler's signature, right? And he's flapping in the wind. And by the way, Metaxas writes in his book about Bonhoeffer, and you can see that on the VFN Torch. We have that for you, that program. But he wrote was that moment right before, this prime minister goes over there, Chamberlain goes to do this out of the middle of nowhere, the leaders, the generals with Hitler, you know, realized that this man lost his mind.
Yeah.
He created his own military. He canceled all those crazy things that were going on. We talked about all that. And they were about to undo that, his leadership.
Mm.
And out the middle of nowhere, a surprise to Hitler and a surprise to the people who are about to change the regime, that this Chamberlain comes in and says, hey.
Yeah, it's called the Munich Agreement of 1938. That what happened was Hitler, we're learning out loud, but what we realize is that Hitler wanted to annex this piece of property over in Czechoslovakia, Sudetenland, because there was 3 million Germans of origin. And he felt that they should be part of Germany.
The same thing Russia was doing right now with
Crimea. Exactly. And so
Chamberlain
mm-hmm. decides to go over to Germany to work out this agreement. But what happened?
And he messed up a coup that was about to take place.
Not only that, but France and the Soviet Union were waiting to say, listen, if Great Britain jumps in, we'll actually come to their defense. And Great Britain had a choice to, do we stand and defend Czechoslovakia? Do we stand and protect Israel? Or do we turn them over? And Neville Chamberlain turned them over. He worked out this agreement, comes back to Czechoslovakia and says, listen, you guys can go defend yourself by yourself, or you can give them Sudetenland and we, don't have any kind of war. So they went along with the agreement. Neville Chamberlain comes back, and we actually have a clip where Neville Chamberlain is celebrating. You saw it in the first segment.
Yeah, we saw it, yeah.
And he's celebrating it, and he says, listen, we avoided peace without war.
So he was trying to avoid war, but he totally dishonored Israel. What did Winston Churchill say about that?
We have a quote for you.
Yeah.
And what he said was, you had the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You had the choice, and I'm going to read it for you. You had the choice. You were given the choice between war and dishonor,
mm-hmm.
but you chose dishonor, and now you'll have war.
Right.
And a year later, 1939, mm-hmm. Hitler invades Poland,
right.
And many believe that was the beginning of World War II, where 60 million people were killed. And mm-hmm. in today's estimation, that's 3% of the world's population, according to here on the website. On we'll have the reference for you. That's equivalent to 2.3 billion people dying in today's population.
Percentage-wise,
percentage-wise.
So you're looking at. And that's what they're saying today, you're saying, and we just heard, John Kerry just say that, the president just said that, about as an avoidance of war.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, it's actually a spark that looks like it's going to start World War III.
Oh, yeah.
Because you heard what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said. He said that, very specifically that this is bad news for the whole world. This is bad news for the whole world. But listen to the Prime Minister being... not the prime minister, but the ambassador of Israel being interviewed about, this whole deal. What's the viewpoint? And you're going to be really it's going to really inform you. And by the way, no matter how every nation wanted to be kept out of World War II, every nation had to get pulled into it because what was done to Israel brought the world into war. Watch this.
Joining us now at our CBN News studios in Brussels is Israeli Ambassador to the European Union and NATO, Ambassador David Waltzer. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Many Americans watch the news. They see clearly how dangerous and untrustworthy Iran is. And yet this administration seems determined to get some sort of deal with Iran no matter what. What is going on? Does this puzzle you? It must alarm you.
Yes, I think that the second is the correct one.
Yeah.
It does not puzzle me. It alarms us.
But do you wonder if the Americans are just stupid? Or what is at play here? Why make a deal with a country that has such a bad track record?
No, I don't think the Americans are stupid. I think that if you look at our region, the broader region, the wider Middle East, leaders, by and large, in the international community, tend to deal or tend to put down fires, put out fires which are burning our fingers, and not deal with what's important, but with what is burning. And the notion that Iran can be, or might be, or should be a partner for us, the international community, I mean, in solving problems in the region, and therefore we better strike a deal with it, I think this is a big mistake. This is a historical, it was proven that Iran cannot be trusted. If you look at Iran's proxies in the region, all the way from Hezbollah in Lebanon, to the Shiites in Iraq, to the Houthis in Yemen, to what's going on in Syria, you can understand that a nuclear Iran, or Iran after a deal, Iran which will be equipped with much more money to support its struggle for dominance in the region, is a much more problematic, a much more dangerous player in the region. And still, the international community is trying to reach this deal. Some have even said, so what? Either we strike a deal or we go to war with Iran. I'm sorry, but those are not the only options. The international community has proven that tough sanctions do work, and Iran has come to the table. So why not go on using the measure you have been implementing successfully? Why give up? Why say Israel did not bring up any alternative to war? Yes, there is an alternative to war. We should not exclude the option of a military option. All options should be on the table, but we certainly don't limit ourselves to either war or a deal. There are other issues, there are other measures, and we are too quick to put those aside. And this is worrying, not just for Israel, for the entire Middle East. If you look at Saudi Arabia, if you look at Kuwait, if you look at Egypt or Morocco or Tunisia or Turkey, they are all much more frightened and worried than Israel is. So all those are America's, are Germany's, are the EU's partners in the region. And we keep telling you, all of you, this is a bad deal. Don't strike it.
Many American supporters of Israel have been shocked at President Barack Obama's hostility toward the current Israeli government. How would you characterize relations between the Obama White House and Prime Minister Netanyahu's government?
Well, I don't think that hostility is reflects the relations between the Obama administration and Israel, and the Israeli government and Israel. We have excellent relations. We have very extensive security cooperation. We have American backing in international fora. We have disagreements. And disagreements on some fundamental and basic issues, but those occur in the most intimate companies of even within families. So hostility, I don't think, reflects the reality of our relations. I think that Israel and the United States, or should I say, the United States and Israel, are very close allies and very good friends. And those disagreements, they have happened in the past. We had crises. We overgrew those, and we managed to overcome and develop our relations even farther. But I don't think that hostility reflects the relations or the wind blowing from the White House towards Israel.
Would you say that relations could be better?
Relations can always be improved. And yes, relations can be better. Yeah. I hope to minimize our disagreements and misunderstandings, but hostility, I'm sorry, does not reflect the mood.
Are you surprised that we're again dealing with anti-Semitism in Europe?
I'm not sure whether I'm surprised, but I hoped very much that 70 years after the Holocaust, anti-Semitism will definitely or will never be on the rise again in Europe. And the fact that we are talking about it today, and the fact that Jews in this continent ask themselves whether they should stay here or leave, by itself is frightening. And again, here, it's a mixture of anti-Semitism, old classical anti-Semitism, and xenophobia, and hatred of the other, and hatred of minorities, and all that is frightening. And the fact that it is happening in Europe in the year 2015, as I said, only 70 years after the Holocaust, is indeed frightening.
Is the time of the Jews, as some suggest, is the time of the Jews in Europe over?
I hope very much not. Look, we have created the State of Israel as a safe haven for Jews, for every Jew who feels that he is threatened and wishes to come to Israel. Israel is open to receive everyone. The decision is the decision of the family, the decision of the person, the decision of the communities. I don't think their time in Europe is over. I think that the threat is growing and the dangers are much bigger than they used to be. By the end of the day, it should be the decision of every person whether he wants to pack and leave for Israel or for the States or for anywhere in the world. I think that the fact that people ask themselves this question is by itself frightening. Mind you, Jews have lived in this continent for thousands of years. The fact that they have to ask themselves whether it is still their home is by itself frightening.
I can't help but ask, is there a feeling that in Israel that you're losing friends in the world, that the number of nations you can count on continues to shrink?
To a degree, we have excellent bilateral relations with many countries in the world. But yes, it is worrying. We would like to be, if you wish, more popular, but we will stay the course. We know that we fight for something which is just, and we will stay the course until we have a solid partner, I think, to discuss the fate of the region with and to strike a political deal. Until then, in direct negotiations with this partner, among a Palestinian partner, of course, until then, we will stay the course because it's the just one and we are right.
Well, I know our many CBN viewers that support Israel are praying for Israel
thank
and standing
so
with it. Ambassador David Walzer, thank you for joining us.
Again, thanks for having me.
It's so important for us. And if you want to put something on your prayer list, put Israel on your prayer list. Let the Lord see you saying, dear God, I stand with Israel. You know, one way you can do that is stand with VFN TV. Look what we're doing. I mean, who is putting this out? And we're just doing that, like Paul said, you know, for your credit. So you can say, hey, I wasn't silent. I stood up for Israel right in this Chamberlain moment, this
Munich agreement,
Munich type agreement that was just signed, quote, preventing war, supposedly, according to Churchill. You know, he says, you know, you chose to dishonor Israel, basically.
Yeah.
And then with that, now you chose war. Look at this. This is Channel 2. This is Channel 2, John, interviewing president in the White House. And with it, you're going to see, I mean, she's asking, why are you so angry with Israel? Why are you so angry with the prime minister? And you're looking at, he just chose everybody's side, but
our only friend in the Middle East.
Our only friend in the Middle East. And if you're not on Israel's side, take a look at this, Channel 2.
You know, you said the other day to Jeffrey Goldberg in an interview that you plan to be around 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Therefore, you'll feel responsible if Iran gets nuclear
yes.
by then. And I just realized perhaps you plan to be many years more around, if only to postpone the moment that Bibi comes speak at the funeral.
That was one of my better jokes.
You enjoyed the punch, did you?
That was a good joke.
You know, can we skip the part in which you tell me there's nothing personal between you two?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. I when I'm with Bibi, we have good conversations. They're tough, they're forceful. We disagree, but I enjoy jousting with him.
Did you enjoy the meeting? You remember the meeting 4 years ago here at the White House when he took the time to speak about some chapters in Jewish
yeah.
history? I could see your jaws locked.
Oh no, I think I was probably just hungry and waiting for lunch.
There's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu and I come from different political traditions and have different orientations.
I enjoy jousting with God. I'm with Israel, the apple of God's eye. I mean, look at those pictures showing his expressions.
Intensity.
You know, even God asked Cain, you know, why are you walking around so downcast? Why don't you do the right thing?
Yeah.
And he said, I'd rather kill my brother, is what, you know, Cain, he killed Abel. Mm. And it's like, you can see the animosity. And it's like, America, we're going to have to wake up. Church, we're going to have to wake up. I know that I don't have his name. We're going to break now. We're going to come back. You know, what does this really mean with them having nuclear capabilities? And how quickly can they turn that into a bomb? But some of the things that's been said prophetically is when God wants to deal with a nation, he'll turn its leaders against Israel. Mm. And so it's not necessarily, you know, our leadership as much as, you know, what we have done, and especially in America. The only reason anybody's in Washington, D.C. is because of you and your neighbor and us. We either voted for them or we failed to vote. That's how they get there. That's in America. Right. It's not some mysterious thing. It's not like some dictator type situation. And so God's dealing with a nation in this whole situation. But what does it mean? Is World War III, are we on the edge of World War III? Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can a public school exclude Christian groups from using their facilities? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, I would like to know if facilities form at a public school can state that religious activities or religious organizations are prohibited from using facilities.
Absolutely not. We've litigated that case now three times at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first time we won it in an 8-1 decision. The second time the case was unanimous. Even the third time, which was an elementary school level case, we won 6-3 overwhelmingly. So the answer is no. There cannot be a religious exclusion from access to a generally available public facility. If they allow community groups to utilize these facilities, they cannot deny a Christian group from utilizing those facilities because their message is one that has religious connotation, religious thought, or religious belief.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier, you know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're looking at, you know, World War II, if you look at it. You know, so many people tried to avoid it and not get involved in it, including America. And if you avoid a war, you can end up in a world war. There's a difference between a battle and a war and a world war. I mean, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time for different things to happen. Just because you don't want it to be the time doesn't mean it's not the time. And, you know, we're not promoting war or anything, but we definitely want to protect Israel and protect America and,
no doubt.
And the Christians and people that are being
used
destroyed
and
beheaded. And it's like, we need to do something.
In this deal, you would have thought at the very least that Pastor Saeed Abedini and some of the other Christians that are being locked up in Iran just for being a Christian would be released.
Yes.
3 years. He just spent his 1,000th day in prison.
Right.
And at the even at the very least, they right. still left Saeed Abedini in prison.
Yes. While they were negotiating this deal, and I was looking at, you know, my source is, you know, Wikipedia with this, but, you know, John Kerry's father, I believe, is Jewish, which means, you know, he just signed a deal that's against his own blood, his own people. You know, he was, it says he was raised as a Catholic, but his father, I believe it is, you can verify it, we'll make it a source of you, available to you. But it says, I'm sure he would have changed it if it was something else. But it's like, you're Jewish. Your bloodline is Jewish. Why would you do what this assemblyman's saying, you know, bring potential death or harm to any Jewish person or a or a Christian? Well, remember this. You know, I said very specifically, when God revealed it to me, I revealed it to you, those that have been walking with us. And that's what we want to do, is just whatever God's saying, we want to make it known. And specifically, when John Kerry got in office, the moment he got in office, the Lord spoke. He showed me that the direction that he was going to be leading or taking it in, that the Jews and Christians were going to be put on the lower rung of the ladder, and they were going to be treated as they're being treated now. And guess what? This deal was just signed. The enemy of America, definitely the enemy of Christians. I truly believe that America would no longer be an enemy of Iran if we just went ahead and went with reportedly what Valerie Jarrett said in 1977, according to Charisma Magazine, if we just become a more Islamic nation, right?
Right.
I mean, they were like, oh, we've succeeded.
We've met our goal.
Yeah. But I mean, here we are at this particular point, and, you know, this is we're on the edge of World War III. And we're not dealing with the, we could have dealt, this is what our leaders were saying. We could have dealt with ISIS when there were like 10,000 people. We could have dealt with ISIS when there were 25,000. But if you look at the rules for radicals, you can find it on the VFN, VFNTV.com on the torch. You know, systematically, we learned out loud as God was revealing it to us, you got to have a sustained militant effort to be able to push people to a place that you want them to be. And it has nothing to do with ISIS. It has really probably nothing to do with the things that are happening, but there's something else taking place called a restructuring of the world while this is all happening.
It reminds me of what we discussed yesterday and had in our previous program, about Dinesh D'Souza, when he was talking about the ideology of the president and trying to understand what is unfolding, what is the world ideology here in terms of changing nations, when Libya, well, you know, the leader there at that time, Gaddafi, was doing the right thing at that time, according to Dinesh D'Souza.
He wasn't a good guy, but he was doing the right
thing. He was straightening up.
And so was, so was the president of Egypt.
Yes.
He had a covenant.
Mubarak.
Mubarak had a covenant with, an agreement with, a treaty with Israel, a treaty with America.
I believe a 40-year peace deal. They never had any kind of issues on that border.
Right.
And then now, when Iran was having an uprising, we didn't go in there to help them out.
The Green Party wrote a letter to the president that sat on his desk. We ran to everybody's help except for the people. Do you remember, and hopefully we'll make this related to you, but I don't know if you remember this or not. Think about this. They were marching in the streets. The people of Iran, the citizens, were thinking that America is going to come like they came to every other nation. And they were saying, you know, we're marching against all this dictator and all this crazy religious zealot thing that was happening here. And the Green Party wrote a letter to the president of the United States, and he didn't say anything. He said something about everywhere else, but here he said nothing in Iran. A reporter, allegedly, according to her, while she was there reporting, was raped and beat by men in those crowds. Women were kicked in the ribs and treated horrifically. By the way, you know, if you, there is a go to a front line. We'll make this available to you, and just watch what happens to women with intense radical versions of Islam. I mean, they have women police who police other women and how they're dressed. I mean, these women are dressed with their guns. They have, you know, totally covered in black, and they're going around trying to find other women, how they're dressed. I mean, look at the future. Is this the direction? Is this the direction that we really want to go as a nation? And only a prideful person would say, it would never happen.
Yeah.
That's what Chamberlain said as he was waving that. And by the way, Chamberlain was proved wrong, obviously, because World War II happened. Secondly, he had to be rescued by a nation that got in reluctantly, America, after Pearl Harbor was took place. And so Pearl Harbor wasn't a movie.
Yeah.
A movie. It was actually an event that took place when America was sleeping, actually.
Yeah.
You know, caught by surprise. And so here we are at this particular time right now in America. We're more seduced than ever before. I mean, there's so many conveniences. There's so much. I mean, think about this. If you had to grow food in the next 30 days, I mean, at least probably people had a tomato garden. You know, people were pretty close to, you know, where the cows were raised, you know, somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
But the closest food to the typical American is like
1,500 miles away.
1,500 miles. Now, imagine that with no trucks or no gas being able to get to that.
Only 2% of America's population produce food for the rest 98%. Of 98%.
That's exactly it. When we get back for this break, we want to talk more about, you know, how to prepare, what's going on, how do we respond to this. And by the way, it is about making disciples of the nations. It's about us turning back to God. It's not about us just going, oh, you know, forgive me, God. It's about us walking out a different way of life. And with the VFN Kingdom business, which you can find out at VFNTV.com, that's what it's about. You know, getting into all seven of these spheres of culture and beginning to be a voice of hope and light and reason during that time. Imagine if somebody would have been in Chamberlain's ear going, if you do this to Israel, this is what's going to happen to Great Britain. Somebody was in the ear of Harry Truman. It was his grandmother that raised him and said, if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. And guess what? He signed the papers saying that Israel was to be a nation, and he said that the force of America stands behind that signature.
Right.
It matters. You could just be in the earshot of someone and speak truth that could just change a destiny. The more we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I command blind eyes to see.
About 5 years ago, I got shot.
Ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
The doctor said that you had a torn rotator cuff. So show me what you couldn't do 5 minutes ago. And can you move your arm now?
Oh my. Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all.
Okay, go now. Okay, now move around. Tell me how you feel. Muscle, tendons, ligaments, and bones be reattached now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now move it around.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Before we talk more about the situation that's taking place right now, is coming up in a few days, is the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. Space is very limited. You're talking studio space, so make sure you register. Everybody, every individual that plans on coming has to be registered. You can go to VFNTV.com. On the front page, you see the banner for the event. Click on that. It takes you right to registration, guarantees you a seat. It's going to be overflow. Just let us know if you want to be a part of that. I believe the Lord is going to awaken. We're already beginning to see God awaken healing on the Gulf Coast. And it's time for the answer for the church is to be the church. The answer for us is to go into all the world and preach the good news of Jesus Christ and watch Jesus work with us, confirming his word with signs, healing, and the love of God be made manifest. And those that believe, baptize them and make them disciples and do the same.
That's
loving
right.
God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Go to VFNTV.com and register today. Don't forget, also, you can call 844-40-VFNTV. You can see it on your lower thirds. It's going to be August the
28th through the 30th. Get in where you fit in, but this is going to be exciting.
It really, really, really is. God wants to heal everyone.
That's right.
And can. Well, think about this. You know, this particular, what you're about to see, was created prior to this agreement being signed. So now you can actually, they're talking about, what does it mean if this agreement is signed? Well, now you can hear it in a different way. It is signed. And look what happens. Now this particular nuclear agreement is assigned based on what it means. And it's done in such a way that Pat and I can understand it. Because well, John's a college graduate. This is like cartoons and stuff. But it just, watch, this is exactly, they're talking in this particular animation about what will it be if it's signed. Remember this, it is signed. It was signed the other day. And that's what you heard the president talking about with New York Times. That's what you heard the ambassador talking about with CBN. That's what you heard the state assemblyman going, this is a 1938 Chamberlain moment. And now this is what they were all talking about, except for our president. Take a look at this.
The world agrees. Iran plus an atomic bomb equals bad news. Must be stopped. Why? Iran is the biggest exporter of terror in the world, spreading instability and death. Iranian missiles threaten the Western world, including Madrid, Rome, and Paris. And they're developing new ones, which can reach the United States. Under the deal being proposed, Iran will halt its race towards an atomic bomb in return for the lifting of the sanctions, which have been slowing it down. However, Iran's ability to make a bomb will remain intact. Now this is a big problem. Let's do a little bit of math to understand why. It takes between 2,500 and 3,000 centrifuges operating for a full year to enrich enough uranium for one nuclear bomb. Iran has a total of 19,000 centrifuges, which, if operated together, can produce a bomb within 6 to 7 weeks. Iran's plan is to reach a deal which relieves the sanctions without giving up the machines. Then, at the right opportunity, it will dash towards a bomb before the world has a chance to say boo. After all, this plan worked for its best buddy, North Korea. Like North Korea, Iran has an impressive track record of violating international agreements, including 6 Security Council resolutions. The difference between a good deal and a bad deal is one that includes dismantling the machines. This would give the world 3 years to know if Iran is building a bomb, to form a global coalition, and to take action. 6 weeks are simply not enough. Iran with a bomb is a global threat and will turn the Middle East into a nuclear nightmare. We need to do everything we can to stop it.
Was too late.
That's right.
It was signed. You think about it. It was signed. It's like 14 or 15 days, I think, that you know, the details are, based on what I understand, that if somebody wants to go inspect and find out what they're doing with all these centrifuges, that they say, we want to come and inspect this, you got to give them 14, 15 days.
I believe it's a month now. Is it a month? A whole month.
Yeah, I heard 14 or 15 days. But either way, it's not like, hey, we're going to show up now.
Yeah.
And it gives them total time. And it's like 4 to 6 weeks from particular nuclear annihilation. And what, the only word left of, and you can see this, we'll make it a related article for you on the VFN Torch to this particular segment. The only prophetic word of 33 prophetic words given to Jim Baker years ago left is, there was nuclear material found in Kedron Valley.
Wow.
Think about that. All 32 of them, of the 33, came to pass. That's the only one left. And not only that, when you think about John Paul Jackson's word about, he saw a headline, and the headline's, you know, kind of like a newspaper thing and a prophetic vision, and he said, it said something like, has Israel played all of its cards? Does she have anything left? What does that mean? Israel's about to defend herself.
Yeah.
And in the way that, you know, Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, the mentor, Saul Alinsky, of our president reportedly and definitely of Hillary Clinton, which they're really mentored by the same guy in the context of how to organize and that type of thing, but Rules for Radicals. The book is dedicated to both of them in the back cover. And it's also in the front cover is dedicated to Lucifer. And you probably can see that as I said that. But you have to target a particular target. If you want to change it, you got to begin to ridicule it. You got to begin to do all these different things that you saw today when you saw Channel 2 interviewing the president. All that anger, all that targeting. Israel's the problem. Secretary of State saying threatened Israel. Do you want a third uprising and allowing Iran to supposedly come down and start firing, you know, missiles through Hamas via Hamas right. into the Iranian influence supposedly in Syria, where that the leader of Assyria, Assad, is Assad in Syria, that he is partnering up with Iran. So really, they never were going to come in that, against that either. And these are countries that surround Israel. This has happened before, but this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, a day is coming when Israel will be totally surrounded and all nations will turn against them. Guess what? Look what America just did. Who would have ever thought there would be a day that America, you know, somebody says, that wasn't me. That was the leader that you selected, leaders you selected, or you didn't select.
And we had a chance.
We had a
chance. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came and spoke before Congress, and he says that Israel will stand even if we have to stand alone. And on a previous program, he also stated that they didn't try to change this agreement, but what they will do is definitely stop them from having a bomb.
So they're going to respond. So no matter what happens to all the people on the face of the earth, you as a believer, you can sit there and say, I stand with Israel. How can you do that? Join us. You know, go to VFNTV.com, click on partner and say, I'm going to partner. I'm going to sponsor. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to join Christians United for Israel. I'm going to do something. I'm going to begin to find our Jewish family, friends in our community and stand with the Jewish people. I'm not going to be silent. I'm not going to choose myself over others. We won't repeat the sins of our fathers, the sins of the past. And just like, you know, this New York Assemblyman says, this is definitely a Chamberlain, a 1938 Chamberlain moment. And you saw him waving that paper like that. That's exactly what our president is doing right now. The president is saying, this is better than war. And you can avoid world wars by fighting local wars. Yeah. And the reports are we could have dealt with a lot of this stuff when it was really small. And now here we are. And it's just amazing what's taking place. It's been a strategy. They're truly using rules for radicals, Saul Alinsky's tactics to organize the world. They're pouring luciferic acid, if you would, all over our nations, all over the world. But, you know, we got time for us to stand up. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God is waiting for us to do something. He's God. He's waiting for his people to stand up and say, my God will deliver us. We turn to God. He is our Lord, just like Jehoshaphat did. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, Lord, we just call out to you right now, Lord God, for Israel's protection. We call, Lord, that you would touch Congress to just end this agreement, yes. Father God, that we would not repeat the sins of the past, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, that you would move, Lord, in a special way, Lord. Awaken the church. Awaken us, oh God, to your will and to your way, Father God. Forgive us, Lord, for choosing ourselves over others, God, and not sharing our wealth with those that are poor, even in our own nation, those that are in other nations, Father God. Help us, God, to do what you want us to do in this season and time, Father God. We ask you, Lord, protect Israel, save Israel, Father God, and protect America. Forgive us, God, for this agreement that was just signed against Israel, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.